Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome to the church house. Let's first give a big hand for the praise team. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. That's Psalm 122, verse 1. Running for Christ Ministries is a church of teaching, learning, and doing, where we eat well, where we have the benefit of a collection of teaching pastors. Pastor O has prepared another all-you-can-eat buffet to feed our inner men. I'm happy to introduce our teaching Pastor O. His message today is titled, Preparing for Heaven. The text is Luke 16, verses 1 through 15. So turn or click in your Bibles to Luke chapter number 16, verses 1 through 15. It reads as follows in the NLT. Jesus told this story to his disciples. There was a certain rich man who had a manager handling his affairs. One day a report came that the manager was wasting his employer's money. So the employer called him in and said, "What's this I hear about you? Get your report in order because you are going to be fired." The manager thought to himself, "Now what? My boss has fired me. I don't have the strength to dig ditches, and I'm too proud to beg. I know how to ensure that I'll have plenty of friends who will give me a home when I'm fired." So he invited each person who owed money to his employer to come and discuss the situation. He asked the first one, "How much do you owe him?" The man replied, "I owe him 800 gallons of olive oil." So the manager told him, "Take the bill and quickly change it to 400 gallons. "And how much do you owe my employer?" he asked the next man. "I owe him 1,000 bushels of wheat," was the reply. "Here," the manager said, "take the bill and change it to 800 bushels. The rich man had to admire the dishonest rascal for being so shrewd. And it is true that the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the world around them than are the children of the light. Here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then, when your possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. The Pharisees, who dearly loved their money, heard all this and scoffed at him. Then he said to them, "You like to appear righteous in public, but God knows your hearts. What this world honors is detestable in the sight of God." Amen. Let's listen with ears to hear and get the meat of this word and not just the milk. Our teaching Pastor O will deliver a message titled, Preparing for Heaven. So church, repeat after me. Pastor O,
Pastor O,
make it plain for us.
Make it plain for us.
Amen. Test. Okay, there we go. Amen. How's everybody doing this morning? Amen. Ready for a word?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you for giving us yet another opportunity to come into your house and to speak this word. We thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit is going to take control now and he's going to give us revelation. He's going to help us with interpretation. And he's going to give us illumination so that when we leave this place, we can make practical application of everything that we have heard today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
So they hear your word today.
So they hear your word today.
And bless my heart.
And bless my heart.
So it receives your word today.
So it receives your word today.
Because I acknowledge to you.
Because I acknowledge to you.
That my ways and thoughts,
they're
not my guilt, but I am here today
to
be transformed, change the way I think,
so that I
can test and approve
what your good,
pleasing, and
perfect will is
for my life. In
Jesus' name,
amen.
Don't
you church so? Thank you, Deaconess Rebecca. Appreciate you. Amen. It's good to be here. And amen. After what I've gone through, you all know about that. And I want to thank you for your prayers and the Lord being listening. You all know I'm scared of needles and having to go through a whole operation. Amen. But thank God for the anesthesiologist. Yes. She said, hey, are you ready for your happy juice? I said, yes. And then I woke up in the recovery room. Praise God. I couldn't even tell you what the operating room looked like. I couldn't even tell you who was in there. And one person I know that was there guiding the doctor's hands as we prayed before we went. Amen. Jesus. Amen. He came through and got me through it. And I know it was not just my prayers. But as I heard Deacon Tony Evans, Pastor Tony Evans say this morning, that sometimes we have to have other folks to pray with us. In James chapter 5, it says, go and call for the elders. Amen. You can pray for yourself because we do that first, right? But then he said, go and call for the elders. And they will come and pray with you and anoint you with oil. And the sick shall get well. Amen. So I thank you for your prayers and for your courage. Amen. It literally means something. Amen. Today I want to talk to you about preparing to go to heaven. Amen. We prepare for a lot of things. Right now, in the United States, most folks are preparing to go to school. Kids are preparing to go back to elementary or high school. And some folks who have graduated from high school are preparing to go to college and to trade schools or just out into the work world. But preparing for the next step is not something that is strange and foreign to us. It is something that we do every single day. When we wake up in the morning, we prepare to get through our day. Amen?
All right.
And since we are used to preparing for this, that, and the other, we ought to prepare for going to heaven. But as I heard Pastor Tony, I don't know why I keep calling him Deacon, as I heard Pastor Tony Evans say this morning, if our focus is on this world and not on heaven where it should be, then that's where our focus will be, on this world and not on heaven. And that means that we're not preparing to go to heaven. We're just preparing to get through another day, another week, another month, another year. But if heaven is our focus, then we will focus on things that get us prepared for going there. Amen?
Amen.
In the passage that was read to us this morning by Deaconess Rebecca, it talked about a man who was an unjust steward? A steward is somebody who has somebody else's property and they've been placed as manager over that property. And all of us, every one of us, are stewards. Everything that we have, even our very life, these bodies that we live in, our soul, our spirit, all comes from God. And everything that God allows us to have, He has made us a steward over that thing. Amen?
All right.
And this man was about to be called in and called to task about his stewardship over the things that his boss had made him manager over. He wasn't that good of a manager. And when he was called in, he was being called in to be fired. I know how that feels. I've been there 37 times. Amen. My first 37 jobs, I got fired from, and the rest, I finagled my way out of them so I could get unemployment. Amen. Talking about being a bad steward, I was a horrible steward. It seemed like I worked 2 weeks, and before you know it, I'm in the manager's office being fired again. Amen. So he was a bad steward, and he had been a bad steward for a while. And so the man calls him in and says to him, you've not been handling well what I've given you. And so I'm going to have to let you go. Now, he calls in people that owed his master, whether it was corn, whether it was wheat, whether it was oil, whatever it was, he called them in and he said that, what is your bill? Jerry, what do you owe the master? And Jerry said, I owe him $1,000. He said, now you owe him $500. Rewrite that bill. He called Ed in and said, how much do you owe the master? Ed said, I owe him $800. He said, cut that bill in half. Now you owe $400. Because the man had come to the conclusion that he had been a manager for so long and he wasn't used to working with his hands and he was too ashamed to go out and beg people for what he needed. And so what he came up with was the idea to reduce everybody's bill. Now the reason that the manager, his boss, commended him is because at least he had sense enough to create a soft landing for himself, to create a better future for himself. In this world, we call it what? A golden parachute. We call it a retirement fund. Some people pay into pension funds. Some people, when they work, they know they're going to retire and they're going to get so much money when they retire. So to be better prepared for retirement, they start putting away money in pension funds. They take some of what they have, or they get a 401k, or they get an IRA, a Roth, or a traditional, okay? They use money market certificates. They use certificates of deposit, okay? They use these vehicles to create extra funds so that they can live the life that they want to live in retirement. Amen? And some of us are like this man. We're not very good managers over the things that God allow us to have. Amen? And so that means we work and we spend everything we get. We work and we spend everything we get, but we're not thinking about the future. Some of us say to ourselves, how do I know if I'm even going to live that long? I need to enjoy what I got right now. But we just keep on living and we just keep on getting older. And many have found themselves at retirement age unable to have the kind of life they had while they were working because they're getting a whole lot less in retirement and they fail to prepare for the future. Amen? So we're not, when we talk about preparing for the future, we're not talking about something that's foreign to us. But we have opportunities every day to make plans for the future, to try to create a better future for ourselves. Amen? I heard Pastor T.D. Jakes say one day when I was listening to Maximize the Moment, he said, most of us buy everything that we want, and then we beg for everything that we need. Amen. We know we got a light bill to pay. Amen. But we go and do what we want to do. We spend that light bill money somewhere else. And then we get on the phone. We call Tyrone trying to get a loan. Amen. Amen. But that is bad stewardship. That is not preparing for the inevitable. And God wants us to always be ready, always be prepared. And so he expects us to make a concerted effort to prepare for the future. So the man commended him that at least he created a better situation for himself so that when he got fired, he could go to all those people that he helped out and they would in turn help him out. Amen?
All right.
Amen. Now, heaven is where we're going to spend forever. Earth, we only have a certain amount of time here that God's going to allot to us. It could be up to 100 or even past. I think the oldest person died not too long ago in America, and they were, 115 years old. So we could get up to 115 years. But eventually, these bodies are going to wear out. As I was discussing with Jesus with what I'm going through right now, I knew, amen, that he could either heal me or I was on my way to heaven, right? There's only, sooner or later, you're not going to get healed. Sooner or later, you're not going to get delivered. Sooner or later, it ain't going to work out. Your body is sick and it ain't going to get well, and we're going to pass away. I was just talking with Anitra's. And she was just saying, this person passed, this person passed, this person passed, this person passed. Sooner or later, all of us are going to heaven. But how prepared are we to go to heaven? Have we only been living to prepare for time and not eternity? Amen?
Amen.
Eternal life is the life that we live here as saved Christians. Everlasting life is a life that we're going to live with God when we get to heaven. But what are we doing right now to prepare for there? If this man was smart enough to do something right now to prepare for when he got fired, wouldn't it be smart of us? Wouldn't it behoove us to spend our lives preparing for where we're going to be forever and not just focus on where we are right now? Because one day, brothers and sisters, I know we don't like hearing it, but we're going to leave here. Amen. Some, one of these homegoings that we go to, we will be there, but other folks will be there in attendance and not us. Amen. We will have exited the body and been present with the Lord. But if we only focus on what we're doing in this life, what we want in this life, where we want to go in this life, what we want to have in this life, amen, how well suited, how will that suit us for heaven? Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 5, amen, to do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Amen. Why? Because moths will eat up the clothes. Amen. Rust will take, like my truck out there now, we're trying to get that thing rust repaired. Amen. So rust will just eat it up. Or either thieves will break through and steal. In other words, everything that we have in this life is temporary. Even this life is temporary. Amen. But he said this, do lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's where thieves need to break through and steal. Things don't rust out. And moths do not eat it up. In other words, the things that you use on earth to live for yourselves precious in heaven become things that are not temporal, but everlasting. And so the Lord is saying, as he said to this man, he said, use the worldly resources or use worldly wealth that you have, amen, to make friends for yourself. Just like that man made friends for himself, so he could have a soft landing when he got fired, the Lord is not against us having wealth. Because it is the Lord who does what? Gives us power to get wealth. But it's what we do with that wealth after we get it that makes all the difference in the world.
Some people, when they get wealth, they just go out on the spending spree. How many of you have seen where folks who won the lottery and the lottery changed their life for the worse? They won millions of dollars and went out and spent, bought a big giant house. How many times have we heard like MC Hammer got all that money and then just tried to make everybody around him rich and he ended up broke? How many remember TLC? They said the same thing. Oprah had a show a while ago, and everybody that came on there was a celebrity, and they had all become rich, but they were all talking about how they went bankrupt. Amen? So God allows us to have things, to have stuff, to have money. He is not against wealth, but what the Lord wants us to do is to use everything that we have, amen, with an eye toward where we're going to spend in eternity. For instance, right now, how much treasure, if leading people to Christ gets you treasure in heaven? If teaching people how to live for Christ gets you treasure in heaven? If helping people in or outside the body of Christ gets you treasure in heaven, how much treasure in heaven can you estimate that you've stored up? Have we used the worldly wealth, the worldly resources that God has given us to make friends for ourselves? So that when it's gone, and when it's gone, that means we passed away. Amen? Let me give you an example. There was a lady in the book of Acts chapter 9. Her name was Dorcas Tabitha, meaning gazelle. And the Bible says she was always doing good and helping the poor. Well, as it's coming to all of us, she passed away. Even though she was doing good deeds and helping the poor, that didn't prevent her from passing away. So they heard that Peter was in a city that was near to them, about 7 miles away. And so they ran down there and they got Peter and they brought him to Dorcas' house. They were having her home going in her house. So she was a wealthy Greek woman and had a house large enough to have her home going in. Those people came running. See, Dorcas couldn't tell Peter anything that she had done in his life. But those folks came running up to Peter and they said, look what Dorcas did for me. Look at the clothes she made for me. Look at the food that she provided me. Amen?
Okay.
That is what the Lord is saying to us today. If we died right now, how many people, I'll never forget this, when Maureen Tate passed away. Amen? This church was full. And I can't tell you how many people stood up and talked about what Maureen Tate did for them. How many people said my family was starving and she brought us food? How many people stood up and said, every time I heard a knock on my door, I knew it was Maureen bringing me some resources to live? Amen? So like Dorcas, when she passed away, like Dorcas, other people came and told her story. Other people came and bragged about what good things she had done for them. She had learned, and she didn't have a whole lot of resources, but she knew people who did have resources. And she became our resource person. Yeah. When people needed food, when people needed clothes, or whatever they needed, we sent them to Maureen because she had become familiar with everybody who was giving away anything anywhere. And I remember Deacon Tate telling me, my wife got my freezer full of food. She got this whole house full of food. But she was storing that stuff up. She was taking care of her family, but she stored all that stuff up to give away to other people. And when she left here, people came here and told that story. I remember when Mother Phillips passed away. I'll never forget Ed giving his testimony about how he was walking down the street and he was hungry. And she called him in and loved on him like a son. And one person after another talking about how she loved on them like a son, like a daughter. Amen? So what she did is what Jesus said. Use worldly wealth. Now don't get it twisted. it, we think that we need to be rich to help somebody. If you got two pair of shoes, John the Baptist reduced it down to this. John the Baptist, when he came and telling people to come and repent and be baptized for the coming of Christ, they said, John, how do we demonstrate our repentance? How do we demonstrate our 180-degree turn out of phase from what we were to what we're supposed to be walking in? John said, you see that man over there with no coat? And you have two? Give him one. So then wealth is relative, and most of us have way more than what we need. I was searching through my closet this morning for a pair of shoes to wear. And I complained to the Lord that I had too many shoes. And if I didn't have all these shoes, it wouldn't be so hard for me to find the pair that I want. Amen. So most of us are like that. Some of us got so much stuff, we've had to even go rent storage so we can store it there. But the Lord wants us to use the things that he gives us to make friends for ourselves. Amen? Yeah. How many people will be standing at the gates of heaven waiting to triumph you when you come into the city? When the Romans would go out and do something to make Rome better, they would come home to what's called a triumph. And that means the people would lie in the streets and they would say, Hosanna, because you've made our life better, you've saved us, you've increased us, okay? And they would herald them all throughout the city. And Jesus says, when we get to heaven, he says, use the worldly resources that I've given you to make friends for yourself. So when it's gone, that means we passed away, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. You remember the story Jesus told in Matthew chapter 25 about the people who had been given certain sums of money? One man got five bars of silver, one got two, and one got one, right? Now, when the man took off for a long journey and finally came back, the man with the five came running up to him, and he said, look, you gave me five, here's ten. Guess what he said to the man? You've been faithful over a few things. Come, enter into your master's joy. I'm going to make you master over what? Many things. So his sequential growth turned into exponential growth. The man who had two came running up to him and said, look, you gave me two bars of silver. Look, I gained two more. And he said, come, enter into your master's joy. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you master over many things. Amen? Okay. And then there was the one with the one. Amen? Okay. He didn't have a whole lot of love for the master. He didn't think well of the master. He said, you always reaping where you haven't planted. You always harvesting where you haven't sowed anything. So I took what you had in the ground. Amen? And look, here it is, what you gave me, you can have it back. He called him a wicked and lazy servant and cast him out into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus gave another story in the book of Luke about some people we had given 10 minas to. Amen? 10 certain sums of money. Now, in the first story, we learned that it was given to them according to their ability, according to what he knew they could do with it. Now, in this case, all three of them got 10, right? But only one came back saying, the 10 you gave me has turned to 20. One came back and said, the 10 you gave me, I got in five more. And one came back and said, the 10 you gave me, I gained one more. What does that mean? What is he saying? That even though all three of them had the ability to take the 10 and turn it to 20, only one of them went all in with the ability he had to do that. Amen? If your mind is on going to heaven, if your mind is on hearing Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant, you've been faithful over a few things, come, enter into your master's joy, I'm going to make you master over many, then you will do that. Every day of your life, you will think more about heaven than you do earth. You won't become so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good, And neither will you become so earthly minded that you're no heavenly good. He told them in this story that if God cannot trust you with the little bit he gave you, then with the little, then you cannot be trusted with a whole lot. And if you cannot be trusted with a little, okay, then who's going to trust you with true riches? What are true riches? Everything that we get here, we're going to lose. We're going to give up. But everything that we get in heaven, or lay up in heaven as treasure in heaven, we get to keep that forever. God will trust us with more. Because as you'll see in both those stories, he said, come, enter into your master's joy. You've been faithful over that little bit. I'm going to make you faithful over a lot. If you cannot be trusted handling somebody else's property, who will give you property of your own? So that means if we can't be trusted with the little bit that God gives us here, how can we expect God to give us a whole lot there? Amen? Now, preparing to go to heaven means that we need to learn how to love God, amen, more than we love this world. Learning how to love God more than we, because we cannot love God and money at the same time. A lot of people love, a lot of Christians love money more than they love God. Amen? And it shows up in their devotion to God, in their service to God, in their study of God's Word, in the leading people to Christ, teaching people in Christ, and how they help people when they enter outside the body of Christ. That's how we demonstrate our love for God. Jesus said it simply like this, and I love it how Jesus just makes it plain. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what?
Obey my commands.
So if we are focused on going to heaven, we will live every day here preparing to go to heaven. And remember this, God knows our hearts. Amen? And the things that we value highly, amen, in this world, if we love this world, as we talked about in the last sermon, do not love the world, because if you love the world, the love for the Father is not in you. You cannot love this world and God at the same time. But you can love God by using the resources that God gives us to prepare for where we're going to spend eternity. Brothers and sisters, don't spend all your time on this life. Focus on heaven, and focus on using the things that God gives us in this life, whatever it is, if it's a car, if it's a house, if it's clothes, if it's money, whatever it is, focus, have some focus on putting away something in heaven. We don't want to get to heaven and be broken anywhere on earth. Amen?
Yes, sir.
We want to be like the lady Dorcas, who used everything that she had, amen? And when she left here, the end of the story is Peter raised her back up. One day I was talking to the Lord, and he said, why should I give you another minute to live? No. Why should I give you? Because I told him, well, Jesus, for one thing, you're going to talk with you about it. Another thing, money for Christ got to happen. But he wasn't talking about taking me out. What he wanted me to realize is that why should God keep us living if we don't do anything for him?
Listen, I love
him.
Amen.
If we're sick and can't get well, you remember when the Lord told Isaiah, I'll close with this, you remember when the Lord told Hezekiah, get your house in order. Because you're about to pass away and you're not going to live. Do y'all remember what Hezekiah was able to tell the Lord? He told the Lord a litany of things that he had done for him, how his whole life was just about wrapped up in serving the Lord. And what did the Lord do? Before Isaiah could get across the courtyard, the Lord said to Isaiah, go back to Hezekiah and tell him that I'm going to give him 15 more years to live. Why? Because Hezekiah was living for the Lord rather than living for himself. Amen. So as we come to a close, make sure that some of the things that you do in this life is in preparation for our eternal life. Prepare to go to heaven. Just like we prepare to retire, we save money for that, and then we get into retirement and enjoy that. Amen?
Yeah.
Prepare to go to heaven. Don't just want to go to heaven, but when you leave here, you want to be welcomed into eternal dwellings. You want to hear Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful on the few things that I gave you. And now, come, enter into your master's joy. Because I'm about to make you master over many things. Amen? Lord God, our Father, we give you thanks today and we praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this reminder that we're not just here to live for ourselves and we're not going to live on this earth forever. But just as you promised us, Jesus, you was coming back to get your church. In John chapter 14, just like you told us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, that one day you're going to crack the clouds and you're going to call the whole church off this earth up before you. And just like you told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 10, that one day each and every one of us are going to stand before your judgment throne to receive from you according to the deeds that we've done in this life, whether good or bad. And so, Lord, help us to keep our mind stayed on you. While we're walking and talking through this life, help us to keep our mind stayed on you. Help us to get to the place where we finally understand that it is not a harm to keep our mind stayed on you, rather than our minds constantly staying on this place. Help us, Jesus, to do the best we can to prepare for heaven. In your name, we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, we're up.